Welcome to the Watering Hole Football Podcast.
Alrighty, welcome in. I am Dylan Lund.
And I'm Colton Sorensen.
And this is another episode of the Watering Hole Football Podcast. Today, we're going to do probably everybody's most fun topic when it comes to draft season. We're going to talk about our quarterbacks. We're going to talk about our quarterback rankings. And I think you got some player comps.
I do.
Some of them are having
some fun with it this
year.
Some
of them are kind of fun. But first, there was a big trade that happened today.
News!
So, in the news today, in the NFL world, wide receiver Stephon Diggs traded again from the Buffalo Bills to the Houston Texans for a 2025 second round pick. And that's interesting because that 2025 second round pick is the one that the Vikings traded to the Texans to help get them their first round pick.
Yes.
So
the Vikings draft pick was used to get Stephon Diggs.
Right. Just it's like fun. It was always meant to be.
It's fun. He came back.
Yeah. The Texans also get a sixth round pick in this year's draft and a fifth round pick in next year's draft. So they get a couple late rounders over the next couple years, and they get Diggs. They get Stephon Diggs added to a wide receiver room that already has Tank Dell and Nico Collins.
I was going to say, I would argue he's a more polished Tank Dell.
Yeah?
I mean, that's kind of who he is, that the deep ball, he's really good at the deep ball, but he also has more polish on his underneath routes, I feel like.
I think at this point in his career, he is most effective in the short and intermediate with his route running.
Probably.
Like, he doesn't quite have the top end speed anymore, and he never really had the top end.
No, but he was really good at selling deep routes.
Yeah.
That's what made him good at it, is yeah. he could sell. Like, Stephon Diggs was one of, in the past, I don't know if he is anymore,
right.
He could make a nine route, which is just a straight down the field.
Just a go.
He could make it look like a slant at the line, make it look like an out, but still just run straight, all without losing any speed. And that's right. What made him really good at it.
Right. Like, he was really good at finding separation at every level of the field. I think he'll be used better in this offense.
Yeah.
Because I think they'll have Tank Dell to do more of the deep stuff. I think they'll have Nico Collins to do more of the intermediate middle of the field stuff.
Yep.
And then you got Diggs running these just little shallow crosses, little out routes, like all these little slants, like all of the more underneath stuff, I think is where Diggs is really going to excel this year. There's two issues that I see. First, he is 30. So yep. Like he is getting up there in age a little bit. Athletic profile kind of drops off after, you know, so many years. 30 is usually kind of that benchmark where players start to get a little slower.
Hey, Keenan Allen was really successful last year.
That's fair.
And he's old. I think he's 32.
32, something like that.
Yeah.
I'm not saying he can't be successful. I just think
Keenan Allen's also not the athlete he used to be.
Yeah.
And Keenan Allen was never much of an athlete.
Right.
So Stephon Diggs, a guy who relies more on his athletic ability, you may notice a bit of a dip.
I will say, though, if you kind of just compare him to a guy like Adam Thielen, who is similar in he was really good at just finding separation when he needed to.
Yeah.
I think Thielen has really dropped off over the last like year or so, but he's still a couple years older than Diggs. So
yep.
I think Diggs can be like a, you know, kind of how Thielen was his last maybe couple years in Minnesota.
I do, however, think this makes Diggs less of a fantasy target.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and
for sure.
People are going to probably take him too high because he's on a better offense.
Right.
But you have to understand, in Buffalo, he was the guy.
Right.
And now
right.
he's a guy.
Right. And that kind of brings me to my second problem that I have, is that Diggs wasn't happy in Buffalo.
Yeah.
To be fair, over the last like month or so or 2 months of the season, when they had the new offensive coordinator, Joe Brady, he didn't use Diggs as much.
Yeah.
So I think if you can convince him, like, hey, we are a unit, like we as the wide receivers are a unit.
Good luck.
Like, everybody's going to get theirs. You're not going to get like 15 targets a game, but like, you're going to get your stuff. Like, if you can convince him of that, I think that bodes well for success. However, Diggs has never really liked to be happy in a situation.
I don't think these words have ever come out of my mouth, nor will they ever again.
Oh boy.
He needs to mature similar to Odell, like the way that Odell has matured.
Yeah, Odell kind of got humbled.
It's a weird thing for me to say, because I'm not a huge fan of Odell.
You've never liked him.
But he did mature into a guy that, like, he didn't expect the ball every time there was a drop back.
Like, Odell for the Rams.
Yeah.
That year. Like, that's what you want to get out of Diggs.
Yep.
And I think if you can get that, you're already sitting pretty with that offense. And then you just added a big-time star who might be on the back end of his career, but I think can still be a big-time contributor.
I think talent-wise, this trade is easily a big hit for the Texans. Like, they... First of all, you get three players for one. Kinda. But also, Diggs is worth, even at his age, I think he's worth a second round pick in the draft.
Yeah.
Plus, you get the bonus of having two shots in the dark in the late rounds.
And so the Bills are eating like $30 million in dead money, and I think they're also getting a lot of his cap too.
Yep. Or, they probably had to make it work.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know what happened in Buffalo, but Diggs, they did not want him there anymore.
He got his way out. He didn't want to be there. Same thing that happened in Minnesota. Minnesota's like, all right, then go.
Yeah. I don't know. He's just a guy that never seems to be happy.
He's a locker room guy in the fact that everyone in the locker room loves him. But he doesn't like the locker room.
That's an interesting way to put it.
And that's a problem.
Like,
it can be a problem.
You know, surrounding a guy like this, I always see the, you know, people throwing out, oh, this guy's a toxic locker room guy. He's a cancer in the locker room.
I don't think he is.
I feel like that's a bit harsh to put on people. Like, I think for the most part, within a locker room, most guys would fight for and rally behind their guys because they're their guys.
Yep.
And I feel like, I mean, you could probably think of it as like a normal job. So like, most people leave their job due to management.
Yeah.
And you could think of like either your front office or your head coach or whatever as like the management, when all your buddies, like, you know, your coworkers, whatever, those are just the people in the locker room. So I don't necessarily think it's like, this guy's cancer, but like,
we've all had some bad coworkers.
Sure, so. We've had some bad coworkers, but like,
it's not something you leave over. But that
is a little different.
Yeah,
you know, making that analogy, it is a little different, but it's a, I think it's similar.
I don't know if that's an issue though, because I think players love Diggs.
Yeah,
I think the difference is he doesn't love his situation. Yeah. A lot of times.
I don't know what his issue is. He doesn't like pretty much anything at any point in time.
But I don't think it affects, like, how he reacts in the locker room. Like, sure. I think he's a perfectly fine locker room guy.
Yeah.
Where I think guys like Odell, at times, were, because he was doing shit on the sideline, I think that's when you get guys in the locker room aren't gonna like stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, but I don't think Diggs is that kind of guy.
Yeah. All right. So, we'll move on to our quarterbacks. This is the, going back to our, what was it, 2020 draft?
Yeah.
With the the Trevor Lawrence, Justin Fields, Mac Jones draft. That was our best episode. If I remember right, that was still our best episode. Best performing.
Still is, yep.
So, hoping to run the same kind of numbers all the way up to that 26 listens.
I think it was like 54.
Was it really?
Yeah.
All right. But, so we'll get into the quarterbacks. And I don't necessarily have my, like, a ranking. I kind of have my, like, I mean, I put numbers to it, but it's kind of fluid. And, like, as I get new information, as I, you know, look at some more film, my opinions will change. Hearing opinions from other people might kind of sway me one way or the other. I will say, for me personally, like, I am not an evaluator of talent. I am never going to claim to be, or I'm never going to claim to be, like, an expert on this kind of stuff. And I do kind of get swayed if you give me a good argument. But I still kind of have my feelings towards things. So that's kind of how I look at this kind of thing. And you are very much more like, I'm going to look at the film. I'm going to create my own, like, all my own opinions, all my own rankings, and do all that stuff. So.
Which I think is what makes us work. When we watch football in different ways.
Yeah.
But we can still come to the same conclusion.
Right.
And that's the fun with football is I am a very, I would love to be a scout. Like if I had my way, I would love to be a scout. And so for me, going and looking at film, deciding what quarterback is the best for a situation is fun for me, and I can understand how that wouldn't be fun for necessarily everyone. So Dylan is much more of a fan.
Yeah, more of a fan, more of just say the entertainment purpose. Like that's more how I watch football.
And that we need people from all different, like that watch all different types of ways for a sport to be good, I think.
Yeah.
Like if you have a sport that everyone watches just as a fan, it's not going to be super successful.
Well, and the conversations about it are just
boring.
Yeah, they'll get stale and they'll get boring.
Not everybody can be headline watchers.
Yeah.
And not everybody can be super hardcore because then it's just, it sucks.
Yeah.
Because arguing with people that are like, love scouting like I do, it really sucks because I can't prove my point because they have their own opinions that they don't sway from. And I'm sure when they talk to me, I have my own opinions that I don't sway from, and that's right. A really frustrating conversation.
I will say for like, especially for quarterbacks, for me, part of it is like a gut feeling of like, how much do they excite me? Like to watch them play, like how exciting are they? And how do I translate that to the excitement if my team had that? And I think that's kind of where my rankings go. And I'll kind of mix that a little bit with what I've seen from other people like breaking down film. So like I'll put my own feelings about like the player with what I've seen from like film breakdowns and kind of mold that into overall how I feel about a guy.
My way of doing it is I will first watch these guys. So I have a first opinion on pretty much every player that I watch in college football. And I will take that first opinion and that will be the starting point for all of these rankings. There's some guys, like, I'm sorry, Bo Nix. My first opinion of Bo Nix was so poor that even if he turned out to be a super legit talented guy, I don't think I could take him first overall because my original opinion was poor of him.
Yeah.
And sometimes that gets me.
Right. No, that makes sense, though. Like, you know, everybody has kind of their own way of doing it. But enough about our process. I think we've pretty laid out pretty well about how we do this kind of thing. And for me, it's just quarterbacks because I'm not gonna fucking scout any other position really.
Maybe
wide receivers here and there.
But. I scout every position because I like it, but I will not put anyone else through that because talking about offensive linemen and how their footwork and
it's boring as shit.
So Dylan and I were watching the scouting combine a couple years ago. And I was talking about a guy I really liked, and I thought he was going to be a really good football player. And then he ran really goofy.
Oh, yeah. It was a Throckmorton.
Calvin Throckmorton. And I kept telling you, it doesn't matter. He's going to be a really good football player.
He wasn't a good football player.
He is. He's a starter for the Saints.
No shit.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But I can't put you guys. It took me like an hour and a half of skipping through this combine footage with Dylan talking about the offensive lineman until I finally realized no one cares about offensive linemen other than me. So I will not put you through that. Yeah, we'll talk about fine. At some point some like high end talent in the draft, I'm sure. Talk about some first rounders maybe closer to draft time.
Yeah.
But we're not going to do this type of rankings for any other position because no one wants that.
Yeah. People care about quarterbacks.
As do we.
Yeah. So. Yeah. All right. So let's get into it. Who is your QB1 this year?
Caleb Williams.
He's also my QB1.
I do have to say, in the last episode that we posted, he was not my number one quarterback.
Yeah, you had him down at like 4.
I think he was 2.
I think he was like
3.
I think he was 3.
He was 3.
I think he was 3.
So there is some off-field stuff that concerns me, but the talent is too much.
So I do want to just touch on that real quick because like I don't think you mean the off-field stuff. Like if anybody listening, like the off-field stuff that you might be thinking of is like he paints his nails or he cried in his mom's arms after losing a big game. Like that's not what you mean.
That is not the off-field stuff I'm talking about. It's the arrogance in the not getting medical tested for combine. It's the having your dad be your business manager and him clearly running it poorly and having too many people that hype you up and not enough people that realistically challenge you. And sure. It's a situation similar, in my opinion, to Johnny Manziel.
I don't think it's the same. Like, I don't think it's similar either.
I think it's similar. I think it's too many people are on your, like, you have too many people that are just there to say yes. They're yes men. You go, I have an idea. I think I'm too good for this. And they go, yeah, I think you're too good for that too. Like, it's that type of shit that I think can be toxic. And I feel like that makes it hard for me to say if he has a bad first year, I think that having those situations around him could crumple him. He can't recover from that. That could be something. That's one of my concerns is like not being able to get through adversity. Sure. Because you have too many people that are yes men around you.
So, I mean,
that's my concern. I don't give a shit that he paints his nails
or that he wore a toga or whatever the fuck it was.
Or the lipstick or whatever the fuck.
The pink phone case. That was the last one.
Who the fuck cares? I don't care if the guy carries his fucking dog around with him, even on the fucking field. If he still plays good football, it doesn't matter how the fuck he dresses.
See, and that's kind of
who cares.
And that's kind of what I just want to push back a little bit. Make sure that I'm on record being like, I don't care about like kind of the stuff that you're talking about, like with, you know, maybe not being able to go through adversity. Like I feel like Caleb Williams is like the first like true like Gen Z type of player where like all these kids that are coming up and like from like stories that have come out, like he has essentially been trained to be the number one pick since he was a kid. Whether that's good or bad, I like, it's not my place to, like, you know.
And that's where some of my concern comes in.
But at the same time, though, like, the thing that matters is on the football field. Like, what he does on the field is the thing that matters.
Right.
And but he's had struggles before. Like, he's already had, like, he's had bad games. This last year was a fucking rough year.
Not at the beginning. That also plays into it a little bit. So at the beginning of the year, he played very good. And then he had one bad game, and I think it tumbled.
I think the team was just bad.
I don't disagree. I don't think the team helped him, but also, are the Bears set up? I know they have talent. And I don't think the talent is the issue. I think it might be the coaching staff.
Sure. And that's the one thing that I could point to that could kind of torpedo his career is if he has bad coaching. But that's literally every single quarterback to ever come into the league ever.
My concern is if he has the one bad year, if that hurts him long term.
You think he's going to just be like, well, fuck this. I don't want to play for the Bears anymore. Give me the fuck out.
I'm
like,
concerned it's a Mac Jones issue. It's a...
he's never going to play that bad.
Zach though. Wilson issue.
He's never going to play that bad. That's kind of where I see it, though.
But if he does, it break him? Like, Zach Wilson, I think, is a good scenario comp for him.
Sure.
Is the confidence to almost arrogant levels where if you get knocked down, does it just break him? That's the off-field concern I have, is the people around him hyping him up to that, the arrogance level.
See, and I don't think we know that. Like, I don't think we know exactly, like, what's going on around him. I don't think we know a lot of that stuff. So I think that's a little bit of, like, kind of projecting what you think you see a little bit.
But I still do have him ranked number one overall because the talent is ridiculous.
Yeah, he's a fucking incredible football player. He can make every single throw. He can run. He's really sturdy in the pocket. He's really slippery in the pocket, too. Like, I kind of look at him as, like, he's almost like a mix of, like, a Big Ben and Pat Mahomes in the pocket. Where, like, he'll slip out of stuff like Mahomes does, but he can also, like, he's sturdy enough to kind of take a hit and still stay on balance. Like, his contact balance is as good as, like, the most elite running backs in the league. Like, his contact balance is insane.
I would argue his contact balance is very Jalen Hurts-like.
Yeah, that makes sense.
My comp for him actually kind of goes along with what you're saying there a little bit. I have him comped as Texans Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Prior to the issues.
Right.
Texans Deshaun Watson was in the MVP race.
Yeah.
Because of his ability to throw the ball very good.
From any place on the field to any place on the field.
I would argue that Deshaun Watson was just as good as Pat Mahomes the first couple years. Like, they were back and forth with each other.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
But I feel like the comp Caleb Williams to Patrick Mahomes is unfair.
Yeah, I don't think anybody should ever be compared to Mahomes.
But the similarities between him and Watson are and I have to say it again, the pre-issues Deshaun Watson. Because the Deshaun Watson we see now is not the same quarterback.
Right.
The ability to throw the ball anywhere on the football field, the ability to scramble outside the pocket while still looking down the field, and then when there is no other option, running the football, both of them were very good, but that wasn't their first choice.
Yeah. The one thing that you really notice about, well, the first thing you notice about Caleb Williams is his ability to extend the play, kind of make circus plays in the backfield, try to buy time. Like, buying time is his superpower.
Yep.
And then being able to, you know, find a space to get the ball off, or if there's still nothing there, go make a positive play and run for it.
I would also say early years Russell Wilson-esque.
Yep. But definitely buying time and creating to throw well before buying time to run.
Right. If there is no other option and running is what's happening,
he's a good athlete.
He's pretty damn good at that.
Really good athlete.
Not, and I think that's what's kind of separates the Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
Because I don't think Russell Wilson was like special when he was running the football. He was just
a really effective scrambler. Well, like really effective.
It's because he, until the last minute, was looking to pass. So defenses couldn't come up and try to get him. And that opens up space, especially in early Russell Wilson time. They played a lot of man coverage back then.
Yeah.
And man coverage is back to the football. You're not looking at the quarterback. That creates open running lanes. You're not going to get that as much nowadays, so you have to rely more on actual running ability than the open space.
Yeah. All right, so moving on to your quarterback two. Who you got?
I have Jaden Daniels as my quarterback two. I think his mix of arm talent and running ability make him an elite prospect in the fun category.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And also the elite prospect in the, hey, we've seen that this can work in the NFL category.
Right.
My comps to him is, at his ceiling, I think the best of the best is Lamar Jackson. I think that is a very rich comp. Like, that's the easy one that a lot of people go to, but I think that's like, that is the absolute best of what you can expect out of him.
Yeah, and I want to preface that by saying, like, he's a different athlete than Lamar. So, like, Lamar is really, like, quick twitch, like, you know, kind of in and out of cuts really quickly. Like, he's a... Like, Lamar is more like Michael Vick.
Yeah.
Whereas Jaden Daniels is less, like, twitchy and, like, change direction type stuff.
But and he's still elite athleticism.
But if he gets to the edge and turns the corner, he will run away from people. Yeah. Like, he has elite, like, straight line speed. That's the thing that he's incredible at.
Not even quarterback elite straight line speed. Yeah, just straight up elite straight line speed.
Right. Like, I really wish he did a 40 at some point. Like, I'd be really curious to see what his 40 is.
I bet you it's 4.3 something.
I was thinking that, like, 4.38, 4.35. Like, yeah, it's fucking fast.
It's got to be 4.3 something.
And that's the other... So that's the thing with Jaden Daniels that's kind of different to Caleb Williams, is Caleb is creating to throw for the most part.
Yeah.
Jaden Daniels, he's not really a creator when it comes to, like, you know, buying time to throw. If he sees a lane, he'll just take off. And that's also a positive play. Like, you know, watching, like, film breakdowns of him, and you can, you know, you're going through this play and you're like, and he starts, you know, you're watching the play, it's kind of doing stuff, whatever. So he doesn't rip like a throw that he probably could make, and he just kind of takes off, and you're like, man, I really wish he would have, like, you know, ripped that backside in. And then he starts to run, and you play the tape another 3 seconds, and he's 40 yards downfield. So it's like you're kind of taking the bad of not taking the throw with the good of he can just house that thing at any point.
He's more of a true dual threat running back, where Caleb Williams, I would say, is more of an improviser, is kind of what I would call him. There's only been a few true dual threat quarterbacks, I think, in the NFL that have been successful. You have, obviously, Michael Vick was the first to do it. I would argue Dan Marino had a little bit to him.
Back that far doesn't register for me.
But maybe a little bit of Steve Young, I guess, kind of ran the ball a little bit too. But the first to, like, actually be a true dual threat was Michael Vick, and then you had Cam Newton, and now you have Lamar. He's in that realm of dual threat.
Right.
Caleb Williams is in your threat of, like, he's still a passer number one.
Yeah.
And that sets him apart from the true dual threat guys, because on any play, Jaden Daniels could be a runner or a passer. And you have no idea which one.
Yep.
At least on the dropbacks, you know Caleb Williams is first a passer. Which some people would say it's good, and some people would knock Jaden Daniels for it. I think the floor for Jaden Daniels is Terrell Pryor.
So by floor, you mean like worst case scenario?
Worst case scenario. And Terrell Pryor was not a good NFL player.
Didn't he transition to wide receiver?
Yes.
Okay.
Because he was very good athletically. I think that would be if the game just moves too quick for him.
Sure.
I think more likely looking at a guy that gets 600 yards rushing and 3 to 3,500 yards passing every year.
Yeah.
And right around that 30 combined touchdown mark is probably what he's going to be in the NFL. I don't know about you, but I think that's pretty solid.
Yeah, that's all right.
I think that's pretty good. I would take that as my quarterback. So.
Yeah, no, that and fun factor, he's very fun.
Yeah, it's very interesting to watch.
Like a few knocks on him are, like, he is a fifth-year senior, so he's played college football for 5 years, and he's had one, like, incredible season. This year, he won the Heisman this year.
And very well-deserved.
I think it was a better quarterback season than Joe Burrow, or more touchdowns responsible for than Joe Burrow.
So, overall offensive production was better.
Yep.
Passing not as good.
Well, right, because he ran more than Burrow.
Right.
Because Burrow doesn't run. But anyway, the thing about that, like playing 5 years and only having one truly elite year, you know, it just so happens that he's also throwing to a guy in Malik Nabers who's going to be a top 6 or 7 pick. And
10 at least.
10 at the minimum.
Yeah, I think he's clearly a top 10 prospect.
And then their other wide receiver, Brian Thomas Jr., who's going to go probably top 20-ish?
I would say first round for sure. There's two first-round pick wide receivers that he's thrown to.
Right, and people say that that's kind of a knock on him because, like, oh, he's just throwing layups to, you know, first-round picks at wide receiver. And I would just like to point out that so did Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow was literally throwing to Ja'Marr Chase and Justin Jefferson, probably two of the top 5 receivers in the league currently.
Yeah.
So I feel like we've kind of already seen this before where a guy has one super elite season and he can come into the NFL and make it work. Obviously very different players. But
you want to know what would be really cool? Is if Jaden Daniels made it to the Vikings and he got to throw to two very good wide receivers again.
Yeah, and Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison.
Just saying, that could be fun. But, yeah, Jaden Daniels, to me, is a Lamar-type prospect where it is a little bit boom or bust.
And it is projection. You are, like, trying to project him in the league because you didn't see a whole lot of, you know, NFL-type throws and stuff on his tape, but they're there a little bit. So you can
his kinda is more of a pure talent scout rather than this will transition to the league scout.
Right.
But he's so much fun.
Yeah, he'd be a lot of fun. I'd be very happy with Jaden Daniels on the Vikings.
So are we just going to go down my list and you tell people where yours are ranked that way? Is that what you want to do?
Because
Jaden Daniels is ranked not second for you, I don't believe.
So we'll get to both of them. So I have Caleb at 1, and then I have Jaden Daniels and Drake May at kind of at 2A, 2B. Like, I have Daniels and May really, really close. And I feel like they're both projections. Like, you kind of have to project both of them, and I feel like both of them have a high enough upside to be ahead of your third quarterback,
JJ McCarthy,
guy from Michigan.
Yep. When I watch him, I will admit it is a harder I had a harder time scouting him than some of the other quarterbacks because of the limited tape, because of the limited throws he was asked to make, and I understand that. But the overall feeling that I got from him is a guy that is going to play within an offense. He's going to be accurate when he needs to. He can make every throw that he needs to make. And he will be productive. He will. I think he's going to be a guy that makes very good decisions with the football, which has shown Aaron Rodgers. When you don't turn the ball over, you're kind of hard to beat. And I think J.J. McCarthy can be that type of guy.
I mean,
not saying he's going to be that type of guy right away. I think a lot of it is situational.
Again, the Vikings are a good situation.
Correct. But my comp for J.J. McCarthy is Dak Prescott. And I think if you look back, Dak Prescott would have been taken top five in his draft class looking back now.
Probably, yeah.
Dak Prescott and J.J. McCarthy are both very successful at running an offense kind of guys. They give you enough athleticism early Dak Prescott.
Yeah, I think, before the snapped ankle.
Yeah, I think lately it's been a little bit different, but they give you enough running ability to get out of a little bit of trouble. They have enough flexibility to throw on the run. I don't think there's been a ton of throw on the run tape from J.J.
He's got some, like, he can throw on the run.
He can.
He's good at throwing on the run.
I would like to see a little bit more in that aspect.
Just don't have the reps.
But he has shown that the upper body, lower body separation is not an issue.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what you need to throw on the run well. I think he has all the tools to be a top 10 quarterback year in, year out in the NFL. The floor for him, I think, is a little bit higher than some of the other guys, which puts him a little bit higher for me. Because, like, Drake May, who I have at number four, his floor is much lower. And that, sure, the ceiling is higher, but I think at some point the floor being that low has to hit a guy. You could argue that with Jaden Daniels as well, I think, that the floor being as low as it is. But the fun factor, I think, kind of puts it over the top for me for Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, that's fair.
And also, I, once upon a time, really believed in Lamar Jackson when other people did not.
That's true.
So I may be slightly biased in Jaden Daniels because of that. But I think J.J. McCarthy will be a solid NFL quarterback. I think your floor is like a Derek Carr.
Andy Dalton kind of.
Yeah, I think that's the floor. And I would take that as a top 10 pick. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's tough for me. Like, I don't hate J.J. McCarthy. And the more that I've seen of him, the more I'd be okay with him as my quarterback. I think he would fit really well in a Kevin O'Connell offense.
Yep.
He's not as exciting. And that's kind of why, like, I lean away from him. Cause, like, the other three guys that I have ranked ahead of him with Williams and Daniels and May is they all have something special about him. Like, I view J.J. McCarthy as, like, the B-plus quarterback,
mm-hmm.
where kind of everything that he has, all of his tools, all of his traits and everything, is just, it's B-plus. Like, he doesn't really make bad decisions. He doesn't really have, like, he's got good accuracy. He's got good arm strength. He's got good athleticism. He's a B-plus, which I don't want to spend three first-round picks to get a B+. That's just me. I would be fine spending three first-round picks to get somebody with an elite trait.
I can't be upset at that thought.
Yeah.
Like, that That's something that I understand when J.J. McCarthy is taken after the other three quarterbacks. I understand why he will be.
Right.
But for me, sometimes that being a B-plus around the board guy is still a very still good NFL quarterback.
Right.
So
now,
I would argue Kirk Cousins has made a very very good career out of being a B-plus guy.
No, and I fully understand that. And I feel like for me, like his, you know, he is in kind of that Kirk Cousins or like maybe at the high end, like a Matt Ryan type of mold. And I do want to make it clear that I don't think J.J. McCarthy is bad. I would be okay if the Vikings took him. I would just be a little disappointed because the swing that I want them to take, I want the ceiling to be higher.
Yep.
That's kind of all where I'm at.
And, I mean, that can take us to the next guy. I mean, I already revealed my rankings. Drake May at number 4. I have him comped to Ryan Tannehill, and I think that's kind of my projection into the league. Like, that's kind of the quarterback I think he will play like. I think the ceiling is very clearly much higher than that.
Yeah.
I think you're looking at a ceiling of Josh Allen.
Light.
Yeah, not quite Josh Allen. I think you're a step or two below that.
Right.
But that type of player, maybe a Justin Herbert.
Yep.
Trevor Lawrence. I think that's okay. That's a fair, because Trevor Lawrence does a little bit more running than Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
Can make every throw. Inconsistent at times.
Yep.
I think maybe Trevor Lawrence, the good Trevor Lawrence, because he's a little... touch and go, but I feel like good Trevor Lawrence is kind of the ceiling for Drake May.
Sure. And like
Trevor Lawrence was drafted first overall.
He was. And I will say for Drake May, for me, a lot of people are killing him right now for, you know, like his base and his footwork is not super great. It's not like tied to the whole mechanic of his throwing motion a lot. Like, he's got some funky misses. Like, you know, I was watching a breakdown of a game and he literally just, it was a 5-yard hitch and he threw it. Like, he bounced it to the guy. Like, he skipped it to him. Like, bounced 4 yards in front of the guy who's trying to throw it to. Like, his misses are pretty bad. He's got bad misses.
Yeah.
But also in those, like, in that same game, he had some absolute fucking dimes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, big anticipation, big boy throws, like, you know, down the seam, in between two safeties, above a linebacker. Like, the dude can make all of these throws.
Yep.
And something that I heard from a guy from The Athletic, Nate Tice, say is like, because Nate Tice has him as his QB1. So he's really high on Drake May. And his reasoning is all of the things that he's good at and all the things that we've seen, he's doing that while having bad footwork and while being inconsistent. So like his 2022 season would be the one to look at when he actually had a supporting cast around him. This last year, his team was awful. Like, it was bad, like bad, bad. So if you see, you know, you see the high from like the 2022 tape, all of that stuff that he's doing while being inconsistent with his feet and all that stuff, he's already there. I would hope that an NFL coaching staff could get him in, work on his mechanics a little bit, kind of just not necessarily change like his whole mechanics, but like try to get him a little more consistent and try to get him to like not have weird extra movement every now and again, and, you know, try to rein some of that in. And I think his high end could be, you know, around like the Josh Allen type, where you're going to make all these crazy throws, crazy plays, whatever, but you're also going to throw a pick to a sinking cover two corner. Like, and I think that's base, that's his high end is, you know, the like kind of Josh Allen light.
Yeah. I would like to talk about my comp a little bit for him.
Okay.
Because I think the Ryan Tannehill comp kind of, when Ryan Tannehill came into the NFL, he was transitioning from playing wide receiver.
Yep.
He struggled with a lot of the same things that Drake May struggled with. The footwork, because yep. he was not a quarterback. The inconsistent throws, because he was not a quarterback. He had all of the traits. He had the height, the arm strength, the running ability. All of that was there. You just needed to mold it.
Figure out how to play quarterback.
And I believe that Ryan Tannehill molded himself into a solid NFL quarterback. The difference, I think, is Drake May is a little bit ahead of Tannehill's curve. Tannehill, his prime, he entered his prime a little late to really make his career good.
Yeah, I think that like the last couple years in
Tennessee.
Well, the last year or two in Miami.
And then Tennessee.
And then the first couple in Tennessee. Like, yeah. Ryan Tannehill was a really good quarterback.
And I think that's my comp to Drake May is an accelerated timeline of Ryan Tannehill.
Sure.
Is
I don't hate that.
The same type of issues that you have to work out, but you're ahead of the curve a little bit.
I think that with the higher upside because of the natural arm talent.
Yeah. I'm not going to argue why Drake May is drafted ahead of the other guys.
Yeah.
I can see it. This is not a Zach Wilson situation for me.
Right.
Where I just don't see it. I absolutely do see it. I do see it in this case. But anyway, those are kind of the guys.
Yeah, the ones that are going to go in the top 10.
It takes a little bit of a drop from there. And my five is Michael Penix Jr. And I have a hard time making a comp for him. My comp has been Tua. It's not because of the lefty quarterback situation. I know it sounds like that. I know that's the easy comp. But for me, it's accuracy is their skill. Like, mm-hmm. that is the trait that they use the most, is that accuracy. I don't think either of them have elite arm strength. I think Penix clearly has more arm strength.
Yeah.
But they rely on timing, accuracy, rhythm. I think Penix a little bit more mobile. I think injury history a little bit can factor in. Both of them have slight-ish frames. Penix is a little bit bigger height-wise, but they're both came in slender. Both were talked about as can they stay healthy. But we did see today a little bit better comp, I think, Geno.
Yeah, I think Geno Smith is a really good comp there. And like Seattle Seahawks Geno.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because that's his
not Jets Geno.
His 32-year-old season, you know what I mean? But yeah, so like to me he does look more like a Geno Smith type because Geno's accurate. He's got some mobility. Geno Smith throws a really good deep ball.
Yep.
You know what Michael Penix does?
Throws a really
good deep ball. So I think that's a pretty fair comp.
And I'm going to break this out. I have not talked about this to anyone or anything at all. I would like to put Michael Penix Jr. in the dark horse seat. I think he has the ability to be the best quarterback in this class.
Really?
I think it would take a couple different things happening, but I think Michael Penix could work himself out into like a perfect situation where he takes over for a quarterback in a year or two and he knows the system, good enough weapons around him. I think his ceiling is C.J. Stroud this year.
So C.J. Stroud's rookie year?
Yeah. And I think that, as unlikely as it is, could be the best quarterback in this class.
So I do have a question about that, though. So
that's ceiling and situation.
No, and I get that. But so usually, like, I don't think necessarily that an older prospect should push them down, right? But I think if you look at a guy where you'd want him to sit, and they're already been like in college for like 6 years,
I don't care.
And they're coming into the league at 25, and then you want him to sit for like 2 years, so he's gonna start playing when he's like 27.
Doesn't matter to me
at all.
I think quarterbacks nowadays, with all of the medical stuff that's come along, they're playing older and older.
Sure.
And I don't think Penix relies on his athleticism, even though he has a lot of it. I don't know if you saw, he ran a
4.5.
Yeah, 4.5.
He looks hella slow on film, though.
Well, because I don't think he wants to run.
Well, I don't, he's also wearing a knee brace. When he plays.
Because he's had 4 ACL surgeries.
Right. That's also a concern for me.
4 years in a row.
That's a concern for me.
Which is why I have him ranked at 5. There's a reason that he's not ranked among the top 5.
Right.
Or among the top 4. But I do think he has... I value accuracy.
Yeah.
Like, accuracy to me is the number one trait a quarterback has to have. And that's another reason why Drake May is a little bit lower than the other guys.
Yeah, that's fair.
Is the accuracy is a question mark. But Michael Penix, the accuracy is not a question mark at all.
Yeah.
And I think his arm strength is just enough.
He's got a strong arm, I think. I think he's one of the stronger ones in the class.
I think he's... I wouldn't call it one of the stronger arms in the class. I think his arm talent is middle of the road NFL quarterback arm talent, or arm strength, I should say, which if you have his accuracy makes it look stronger.
That could be.
Which, because I've watched a lot of his tape, and the more you watch, it takes the ball a little longer to get there a lot of times. Sure, he can make... I think he can make every throw.
Yeah, I guess I didn't quite...
Just the timing sometimes, but it doesn't matter when you have the accuracy and the timing that he does have.
Sure. Yeah, I guess I just didn't quite get that impression, but...
The only reason I don't have him ranked higher is the injuries and the elite receiver talent he had around him this past year. Should that be a knock against him? Not necessarily, but it kind of is in this situation. But I would not be surprised if we're talking about Michael Penix being Jordan Love type guy.
Sure.
Where
that's fair.
2 years down the road, he comes up. I still think it's almost worth taking him in the first round, because if you get 10 years, if Michael Penix Jr. is 27... When he starts, he plays till he's 36, 37. You get 10 good years out of quarterback, I still think that's worth a first-round pick.
No, I guess that's fair.
I understand that some staffs, I guess, are going to want more.
Yeah.
But or like, think about how long a coaching staff or a general manager is actually in the office.
3 to 5 years. Maybe.
It doesn't fucking draft. I don't care if he's 31 years old. If he is the best quarterback, he's the best quarterback. If I'm drafting him, I'm expecting to only be there for 5 years at the most.
Sure.
Who the fuck cares? Screw the next guys. I want talent. And I think Michael Penix Jr. has talent. There's some question marks, though.
So the one thing that I kind of want to piggyback on is like, you know, you're kind of knocking him just a little bit for the elite talent around him.
Yep.
He did have a great line, which helped him a lot.
That he did.
So did Jaden Daniels at LSU. They both had elite wide receiver cores. I think there's going to be 3 UW wide receivers drafted. One of them
probably in the first 3 rounds.
One of them in the top 10. The other one probably round 2. The other one probably round 3.
I think the second one will be early round two, and I think the third one will be late round two.
Sure.
Early round three. So like, very good talent.
So, but what I'm getting at here is that we got two guys that had elite talent around them.
Yep.
And when you have somebody who has elite talent around them, I think the mark of a good quarterback is how you maximize that and how much did you maximize that.
Yep.
And with Jaden Daniels, we saw the Heisman season.
Yep.
We saw, you know, just an incredible quarterback season from Jaden Daniels. Michael Penix did the same thing. He led his team to a national title appearance. Like, he fucking balled out. And his that's what you want to
see. Were also ridiculous.
And that's what you want to see from a yeah. guy that has NFL talent around him playing against guys who are going to be accountants in 2 years.
Yep.
And I think they both did that. And that, to me, that like that means something. Like, that's not a nothing. Like, I don't want to necessarily knock them too much for having talent around them. That's not their fault. What you do with it matters more. And I think what they both did with it is elevate the whole team.
I don't disagree. And that's why Penix is a dark horse, I think, to be the best quarterback in the class. Do I expect him to be? Probably. No. Would I be surprised? Honestly, not really.
I think I would be.
I would not.
So for me, I have pretty high hopes for Caleb. Like, I have high expectations for Caleb.
Yeah. I think, there's got to be a couple things that play out in order for this to happen.
Sure.
But, yeah.
All right, get to your last one, and then we'll do a couple honorable mentions because I feel like we're running long here.
Yeah. So I have Bo Nix at 6. I think he's really the last draftable, usable quarterback.
Like, possible starter.
Yeah. I have his comp as Case Keenum. I think if you have to start Case Keenum, I think you're not super excited about that, but I don't think you're all that concerned either.
You know he can run an offense.
Yeah. I think Bo Nix has a little bit more athleticism than Case Keenum, but the arm is kind of what it is.
Yeah.
Bo Nix, also because he's played a record-setting 61 games in college football, he is what he is at this point. I think it's kind of late to be really crafting this guy into what you really want from him.
Yeah.
I think his upside is early Baker Mayfield.
Sure.
Like, not the first season Baker Mayfield where he's great, but the second and third season where he was just like,
he's okay.
Okay, we'll take it. Like, that's the upside of Bo Nix. I think the lower side is
pick a backup.
Gardner Minshew.
Sure. Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense.
So yeah, I don't know. Bo Nix is a guy that if you draft him and you put him in a good situation, I think he can do fine. If you put him in a bad situation, I think he's going to do fine. I don't think he excites anybody. I don't think you're disappointed if you draft him because you know what you're getting.
Yeah, to me, Bo Nix really just, I think he's a Sean Payton guy. So I think the Broncos are going to miss out on, I think their guy is probably J.J. McCarthy is probably their guy.
Yeah,
I think the Broncos are probably going to miss out on him. And I think their backup plan might be like a Bo Nix, maybe in the second or something.
Yeah.
And I think Sean Payton just wants a guy that's going to run his offense the way it's drawn up. And I think Russell Wilson was not that kind of quarterback.
Yeah.
And it's very apparent that he did not like Russell Wilson. And I think Bo Nix is the polar opposite to that, where he's just going to run whatever you tell him to run. If the read is to, you know, if you want him to throw a bunch of flats and slants and screens, he will absolutely do that. He'll be thankful for that.
Yep.
I don't know. I see him as a Sean Payton kind of guy.
He's Kirk Cousins without the upper end arm talent.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, yeah. My honorable mentions, these are not necessarily. I think all of these guys are draftable talent.
Probably like day three. Yeah,
they're day three guys for me. One of them is a my guy. I love him to death, but I understand that he's not necessarily an NFL quarterback.
Yeah, probably not.
I'm going to start with him, Jordan Travis. This is not in any particular order, by the way.
Yeah.
It's in an order of how much I like them, probably.
Right.
But Jordan Travis, he's so much fun. He is my favorite college quarterback easily. I kept talking to you about him all the time.
Yeah, I don't know why.
And I even had him ranked as my number one quarterback for a while during the season because I got caught up in the hype.
Hey, and then Florida State was pretty good.
Yeah, and then his leg went snap, snap.
Yeah, and it was bad.
Oof.
Hey, they outlawed that tackle.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to matter. It already happened. My comp for him, and this is purely based on how much I enjoy them, is Gardner Minshew. Because both of them are so much fun, and I want both of them on my team at all times.
They're so much fun, but not necessarily on the field.
Oh, not in a good way. It's fun in a pure chaos is happening way.
Yeah, yeah.
The attitude, the, oh my God, what's going to happen on this next play? It's enjoyable, and I like Jordan Travis, and I will forever like Jordan Travis. Jordan Travis, if you would like to sign something and send it to me, I will definitely be buried and go to the grave with it. But yeah, thank you, Jordan Travis, for playing college football and letting me enjoy watching you.
So I will say, like, I don't think he's bad. I think he's got, like, high-end, like, being real about his, you know, projection into the league, I think he's, like, high-end backup, maybe spot starter.
I don't think so.
Really? not even that?
No. The fun that I had watching him in college is similar to the Tim Tebow fun.
Oh.
Where, like, I don't think it translates really at all. But I had fun anyway. All right. The next guy, Joe Milton. The biggest arm, possibly, in NFL history?
It might be, yeah. Yeah.
I think the only other guy in my comp, the only other guy is Jamarcus Russell. Jamarcus Russell once threw a ball from his knees 76 yards.
Yep.
From his knees. Joe Milton at the combine with no hop step, no step into the throw, was throwing 72 yards.
Yeah.
Easily.
Didn't you say, like, there was a game that, like, it tracked a ball that went, like, 86 yards?
So he had an overthrow on a ball that, so he's throwing a 9 ball, but there's a little bit of pressure, so he had to throw it a little early, but he just didn't take anything off his throw. And it went in the air 82 yards. he just didn't take anything off. Like, he didn't account for the wide receiver not being that as fast, far down the field as what he should have been when he threw the ball. He just threw it anyway and hoped for the best.
Nah, that's fun.
So, yeah, Jamarcus Russell, if he was drafted in the fourth round, he probably would have had 6 to 10 year career as a backup. And
sure.
Teams would have been fine having him, but drafted first overall.
First overall.
Probably not great. But yeah, Joe Milton is fun due to just in, as we saw earlier on a video we were watching, an RPG strapped to his shoulder.
Yeah, pretty much.
So yeah, that's fun.
So your last guy here, I'll kind of say, like, this guy is kind of my guy.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
You liked him from the start.
I know. I kind of like these arrogant, cocky dudes.
Yeah.
Only some of them, though.
And this guy was, because he has not necessarily shown it as of late, but the man behind QB1, the most hated man in football.
Yeah.
Spencer Rattler.
Yeah.
He was a rich douche who just, absolute piece of shit on, okay, as a high school student.
Again, that's, I do want to point that out. Like, yeah. He was on a Netflix show called QB1. when he was in fucking high school. If you have at a
Bishop Gorman, one of the richest high schools in the country.
If you are like a 17-year-old that has a fucking Netflix crew following you, and you have all, and you're really good at football, by the way.
Yeah.
And you have this crew following you, like you are, it's ingraining into your brain that you are the next hot shit. Some people can take that.
I saw some people, other quarterbacks that didn't have a problem.
Some people
with that.
Cannot handle that type of exposure. And he could not handle that type of exposure from a personality standpoint. He was still pretty good at football. Then he went to Oklahoma, got humbled like
immediately.
Real big.
Because
the play was not good, and then he got benched for Caleb Williams.
Caleb Williams.
Yeah, Caleb Williams is sitting on the bench as a freshman. Yeah. I think he was a sophomore. He had to have been. So then he transfers to South Carolina, and from the things that I've heard from the people that have talked, from the people that have talked to like his coaches and stuff like that, like the guy is very different from who you saw in QB1. He was a 2-year captain. They had a whole bunch of injuries and shit like on their offensive line. Like, you know, they're saying like he wasn't complaining at all. He wasn't being the arrogant man child that like he was kind of portrayed as, and that he was to be, that he was.
Yeah, he absolutely from the show. Was.
So I feel like he's grown up a bit more.
Probably.
As far as football goes, he has a really good arm. It's a very live arm. He's not athletic.
Very slow.
But he can win from the pocket. He can do all the arm angle stuff. He can do the off-platform stuff.
My comp is so good.
I know. And I don't know. I want that guy to succeed. Because I don't want the lasting image of him to be that stupid fucking Netflix show where he was a jackass when he was 17.
It will be.
I know it will be, but like, I don't want that for him. Because like, I feel like people can grow and evolve and change for the better. And like, I want this to be that story. I don't know why, like, I've kind of like latched onto this guy, like wanted to see him to succeed and like make this guy my guy. But he's just, I don't know. He's one of my guys.
My comp for him is another guy that was arrogant and cocky, had a troubled past in the media.
I think he stole some crab legs.
He did. known for being goofy.
Out there.
And just strange. I don't think Spencer Rattler will be as strange as Jameis Winston.
There's no way.
But I think the talent kind of lines up a little bit.
To be fair, Jameis Winston was a first overall pick.
Correct. But
he did have the talent too. Like I think he was talented enough.
I can see
time.
Spencer Rattler. He can make every throw like Jameis.
Yep.
Very unathletic like Jameis. Yep. Probably too. Jameis's issue was he was too arrogant, where he just had the confidence that I can make every throw.
Yeah.
I am going to make this throw work. And fuck, half the time he did and half the time he did. He literally is the first ever quarterback with a 30 for 30. Not the documentary.
Yeah, 30 like, touchdowns, 30 picks.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
He ended that season with a pick six to make the 30-30 season.
And we were watching live when it happened, by the way. We were watching Red Zone.
It was great. I loved it.
And Scott Hansen flips over and goes, and you're not going to believe it. Jameis Winston just threw a pick six to get to 30 interceptions.
I think that was in overtime, too.
Yeah.
It was to lose the game at the end of the season. However, he threw for 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns.
And 30 interceptions.
He threw 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns, though.
But, like, honestly, I could see you give Spencer Rattler the starting job. He could put up those numbers.
Yeah.
I honestly think people have realized that Jameis is not a starter because of that. But, like, it's they're similar guys.
So that, I don't really see like all the turnover stuff as much.
Probably not, but like I think
you just have, it's a vibe for you. He's the kind of the same vibe.
I think in order to make it to a starting spot, he almost has to get more aggressive. And to get more aggressive, I think he would turn into a Jameis type guy.
Sure.
But I think he, current Jameis is kind of what he should hope to be.
I guess that's fair. Is
a guy that people are going to pay him to be a backup.
Yeah.
Because when you put him in the game, he's going to make stuff happen.
Or?
Either for your team or the other team. He's going to make stuff happen. And people love him. I think Spencer could possibly be a kind of guy like that where people are just going to love him because he is who he is.
I don't know. I don't think I can ever like compare somebody like personality wise or like even the same to me, even the same vibe to Jameis. He is a whole different human.
To be fair, Spencer Rattler talks in full sentences.
He does.
I don't think he's going leading a pregame thing saying I'm going to eat some W's. Eat some
W's.
And then proceed to eat his fingers.
In the shape of a W.
But I don't know.
Or go off script and go against your head coach.
Oh, God.
And get your boy a touchdown. And then when the media's like, hey, man, why'd you do that? He's like, what, you have a problem with it? Why do you have a problem with it? we made the call as a team. That was a team decision. That wasn't my decision. That was a team decision.
To be fair, the coach backed him up. Did you see that? The coach goes, I mean, if they're just stop it.
Yeah.
Just stop it. Don't let us score then. But yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, Jameis is a fun player.
But anyway, that's the quarterback rankings. If history is anything to say about it, mine will be pretty much spot on.
100% correct, yeah.
I'm running, what is it, 5 years in a row? 6 years ago, I had a real rough one. I think 5 years in a row, I've been almost spot on.
Sure. We don't have any documentation of that, so we'll just have to take your
past,
word for it.
The past couple of years we do. But you know that I've been spot on for like 5 years in a row.
Do I?
The sixth year, though, was rough.
Yeah, talk about your Kyle Lauletta take.
He's in jail, so.
Still?
Probably. I think it was a pretty hefty charge. I think it was pretty serious. What he went to jail for.
Oh, man. What did you tell me about Kyle Lauletta? He was going to be the next Tom Brady?
It was Tom Brady. Not my best moment. So anyway.
Yeah. No, that was fun.
We're gonna end it there on the Kyle Lauletta take. But yeah, we're not going to be recording next week. I am going to be in a different country. The week after that, we'll probably do a little bit more of like a overall first round talent kind of deal.
True.
And then I think after that is the draft.
Draft week, yeah.
And we're possibly going to try to do a recording after the first round or after the second round.
Second day.
Yeah, do like a so first either, 2 days
wrap either next up. Thursday or not next, but draft Thursday or draft Friday we might record. Just depends on time and how late we want to stay up.
Yep. But anyway, if you listen to this, go on our Facebook page and type in how bad you think our rankings are for quarterbacks. And we appreciate you listening, and we'll see you next time.
Peace.